I'm Tony, and this is the Tony Kornheiser Show. Wow, that makes it sound a bit more serious than it really is. So what exactly is the show about? It's been almost 30 years, and I still don't know. Right now, we have some of the best voices in football come on to explain to us what we need to know in the college and pro world, and we get weekly picks from a monkey. Do you really need more than that? I might just tell you about my bunker game and the latest failed entry in my quest to find the best coffee ice cream. No schmutz, please. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Much love and many thanks to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America on your local CBS Sports Radio affiliate, the free Odyssey app, CBSSportsRadio.com, Sirius XM Channel 158, and everybody tuned in on the smart speaker. Hope you're having a wonderful day, a wonderful night, a wonderful evening, afternoon, whatever it is. Thank you for tuning in. We got a lot to get into over the next 3 hours. We get started every weekday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. And we know that we are on the heels of the Super Bowl, less than a week away, the big game, Sunday night, Kansas City Chiefs, 49ers. We're going to talk more football momentarily. Later on in the show, we're going to talk about Jose Altuve and his latest 5-year contract extension with the Houston Astros. Altuve getting some money before Blake Snell and also Cody Bellinger. But we're going to get into that. But joining us right now, speaking of the big game, his name is Eric Eager. He's the VP of Sumer Sports. He formerly worked with Pro Football Focus. He knows all about the stats, the numbers, all the good things that, hey, I just like watching hit people. So we're going to get a different perspective. Eric, thank you for taking the time to hop on, man.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Most definitely. Now, this is a question that's real important. Yeah, I know you know about the stats, the analytics. What are the odds that somebody, somehow, some way involved in the NFL this game, this Super Bowl, gets in trouble between now and Monday?
Oh, I think it's pretty high. I mean, we've seen it happen before, right? Barrett Robbins, Eugene Robinson. It's happened before. Maybe it's not directly involved with one of the teams, but I'm certain a media member might stumble across something that is unholy here and make some news.
Oh, yeah, always a media, or at least some media person will unearth it. Well, Eric, I know you're out in Vegas. What is the vibe? I know it's early on in the week. Things really don't get kicking until the Thursday, Friday, but I know a lot of the execs are in town. What's the vibe in Vegas already?
Well, it's rainy and cold, which, like, if you ever wanted to know, like, what God would do if we ever held the Super Bowl here, you know now. So that's been a little bit weird there. But, the Radio Row feels about the same as most Super Bowls, but it is different that, you know, it's being held in Mandalay Bay where, you know, we have, the slot machines, blackjack tables, sports books, things like that. The stadium's really close to, you know, all the festivities, which is a little bit different. But no, it feels really cool. You know, obviously you have two teams. We're here 4 years ago, a little bit different now that the Chiefs have gotten over the hump. San Francisco hasn't. I think that there's a lot of pressure on the San Francisco 49ers, and the Chiefs feel like they're playing with house's money, and they're relishing, that role of the villain.
Eric Eager is here with us. He's the VP of Sumer Sports. Yesterday we had on your partner, Thomas Dimitrov, and he was able to provide us some perspective with his role, former role, as a general manager, scout, executive, et cetera. What is your perspective on this game from a number standpoint? What do we need to look out for?
Well, I think the big thing is both of these teams are built in different phases of the team-building cycle, right? The Chiefs won the Super Bowl the first time against the Niners with Patrick Mahomes making, you know, rookie deal money, and they're, you know, them able to have the superstars, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, you know, Frank Clark, even to a lesser extent, Sammy Watkins, Mitchell Schwartz. They traded Tyreek Hill, built a defense, you know, 8 players in the last 3 drafts, 6, that are starting on the defense in just the 2022 draft alone. One of the youngest teams in football, the first team in NFL history with a quarterback making the most cap money in the Super Bowl. Whereas the Niners, of course, they have a ton of superstars, 5 players who next year will make $20 million or more on the roster because Brock Purdy's making under a million dollars a year. You know, they're going to eventually have to be in that phase if they continue to work with Purdy, but they're you know, a team with a ton of superstars surrounding a young quarterback. And so it'll be interesting to see, you know, from an analytics perspective, you know, sort of which one prevails.
Well, Eric, you mentioned Brock Purdy. We've had so many conversations about Brock from a football perspective and, you know, what does he do on the field and what type of guy he is. His interviews are perfect. And there's also a lot of, I don't want to say accusations, but, hey, he's only good because of the dudes that surround him. When you take a look at the numbers and you possibly compare him to other QBs, you know, yeah, he's a finalist for MVP. Is he not contributing to the team as well? People just make it sound like he's plug and play. What do the numbers say about him?
Well, he averaged 9.9 yards a pass attempt, which, you know, my boss, Thomas Dimitroff, when he and Kyle Shanahan went to the Super Bowl, you know, just a few years ago, Matt Ryan was at 9.3, and that offense was incredibly scary. Patrick Mahomes this year, just for reference, 7 yards a pass attempt. So every time Brock Purdy threw the ball, the 49ers averaged 3 more yards than every time the Chiefs threw the ball. So clearly Brock Purdy's doing something. Mahomes has only one wide receiver with over 500 yards, only 2 players on his team with over 500 yards, so he's working with a lot less. But, you know, I think the time is now to, you know, look at Brock Purdy and say, you know, yeah, he's got a lot to work with, but he's clearly doing something with that. And, you know, in the here and now, the Niners' job is to win this Super Bowl. And it's not, you know, none of our business right now to say, is he going to be worth the $50 million contract that, you know, a veteran quarterback is worth? That's, you know, for a future person to ask. But for right now, he's certainly worth, playing. And if you like the Niners in this game, betting on.
Eric Eager is here with us, the VP of Sumer Sports. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. When you think about the game in whole, who do you give the edge to based on all the data and information that you have?
Well, I think, you know, the 49ers are favored, and you have to respect the markets. I think about a month and a half ago, they probably would have been favored by closer to a touchdown. So the Chiefs have certainly gotten their act together. They were the worst playoff team in the league in terms of penalty differential, in terms of turnover differential. But they've turned it around. They haven't had a penalty until basically halftime of the last two games. They've only had one turnover on offense the last two games. Patrick Mahomes has not thrown an interception after generating a career-high 14. You know, so they're kind of the LeBron Cavs, if you will, you know, this year, where the whole regular season they kind of messed around and they got it together in the second half of the year. Their defense is second best in football. They deserve that. I think if they play their game, which is low scoring, fewer possessions, you know, force the other team to play left-handed, I think that they're at an advantage. I think if this game becomes a track meet, I think that the 49ers are a clear advantage. So I don't think the Chiefs, if this game becomes one where the teams have to score in the 30s, I just don't think the Chiefs can.
It's pretty amazing how the Kansas City Chiefs have been able to balance out the team a little bit more so even now, relying a whole lot on their defense. Eric Eager is joining us here on CBS Sports Radio. When you think about the offensive explosion in the NFL, are we primed to see just more diversity in the quarterbacks and their skill sets? Are we kind of moving away from the guy 6'5", Herbert, standing there in the pocket delivering a rock?
I think so to an extent, but you know what we have seen this year is more guys get hurt, and when you aren't that physical Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, you know, Justin Herbert player. I mean, Justin Herbert played the entire 2022 season with broken ribs and took that team to the playoffs. When we saw Joe Burrow, who is a very good quarterback but a little bit less physically imposing, play with a calf injury, it was a disaster. He was a league record holder for low yards per pass attempt in September with a calf injury. I think you still, and this, you know, goes to Jaden Daniels, it goes to Caleb Williams, who's, I think, going to measure under 6 feet. I still think, even though the league is more conducive to smaller players of the position, more conducive to more athletic players of the position, I think you still need to have some size because, you know, since the 2011 CBA, the gap between talent on the defensive line and gap between talent on the offensive line has grown a little bit. And so quarterbacks are still going to get hit. A lot of the older players who, you know, were really good at protecting themselves, the Tom Brady's, Peyton Manning's, the Drew Brees's, those guys have obviously aged out of the league. And so we're seeing more injuries at the position, and we're seeing more guys have to play hurt, and you know, bigger quarterbacks play better when they're hurt than smaller quarterbacks.
Eric Eager is here with us, knows all about sports analytics as it relates to the NFL. You know, I've had this conversation with a lot of athletes. It doesn't matter if it's someone like Terrell Owens, or we want to talk about somebody on a defensive line, or even an Emmitt Smith. A lot of these dudes are not necessarily happy with just how less physical the game is. Do you think over the next 5 to 10 years that I'm going to turn on an NFL game, and especially for the running backs, am I just looking at, hey, we got 4 out, 5 out? Am I looking at a track meet? The game is just all or nothing, it feels like.
Teams have used fewer men in the box over the course of the season. So what I mean is fewer linebackers, more safeties, fewer defensive linemen, more linebackers. We've seen a trend. And what was really interesting is, you know, offenses were down this year, especially in the first half of the season. And the reason for it was defenses were actually much better this year at defending the run with fewer men in the box. Remember, when we were kids, you know, the way that you defended the run was you brought the safety down into the box and made an 8-man box, and you stopped the run that way. You can't do that anymore because passing offenses will kill you. And so, you know, defenses have had to adapt. And, you know, the first adaptation was to just play 6 or 7 men in the box and give up the run. And deal with that and give up points that way in a slower fashion. But then defenses have gotten good at drafting guys like Jordan Davis and empowering players like Vita Vea and the like, where those guys can actually stop the run by two-gapping with slighter boxes. And so offenses have struggled because that advantage has no longer been as big for them when they run the football on early downs against smaller defenses.
Well, Eric, we know that the NFL is geared towards offense. It's geared towards entertainment. And this is a matter in all sports. Greg Maddux, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, said chicks dig the long ball. Do you think that we are currently in a trend when it comes to young offensive-minded head coaches and throwing the ball downfield? Or do you think we might find more balance at some point in the NFL?
Well, the last hiring cycle was predominantly defensive coaches. We got, you know, Dave Canales went to Carolina, and Brian Callahan went to Tennessee. But for the most part, we got Dan Quinn, we got Raheem Morris, we got Mike McDonald, we got a bunch of defensive-minded coaches getting head coaching jobs. And I think a lot of that was because, you know, a lot of the offensive talent, they got their jobs a couple of years ago. They got their jobs over the past few years. So, you know, the league is nothing if not cyclical. I agree with you that over time, if you zoom out, the trend is clearly towards offense. But I actually think that in the current NFL right now, we're seeing a little bit of a decline in offense, and a little bit of, and you know, because of the retirements of some of these QBs and some of the injuries that we've seen to some of the good QBs like Herbert and Burrow, we're actually seeing a little bit of a renaissance in defense, which I think some of us, you know, people who loved the game back all the way back to when we were kids, I think we welcome that a little bit.
Well, Eric, you take a look at some of the teams that need a quarterback in this upcoming draft. You mentioned Dan Quinn. We know that the Commanders are going to be in the market. When you think about who's available coming out of the draft, I should say, who do you think is going to make the easiest transition given their skill sets?
I think that Drake May, you know, has some really good traits to him as far as, you know, quick release. You know, he's okay at sack avoidance, which is something that I think we're going to have a tough conversation with Jaden Daniels, who I really like, kind of at everything else, the running ability, the pat, you know, the rubbery arm that he has, the rubbery arm that Caleb Williams has. But I think May, you know, combines, you know, the size, the arm strength, the movement skills, and he's going to go to Washington probably at 2 unless they trade up for Williams. I think that that's going to be a good prospect for them. And you know, in the secondary part, you know, in the Bo Nixes, Michael Penix took a sack on less than 10% of the time he was pressured over the course of his career, both at Indiana and Washington. That is a trait that generally propagates from college to pro, and it's one where if you look at in history, some of the underrated quarterbacks in the NFL, all the way back to Doug Williams and even Dan Marino, who I think is even though in his Hall of Fame career, I think was underrated, some of the guys who won more games than people expected them to win were always good at avoiding sacks. And Michael Penix has that trait, and so does Bo Nix, underratedly. So those are two guys that if I were, say, Carolina, or I was a team maybe that was looking to hedge their bets on their young quarterback and get a second guy in that room, those are guys that I'd look to maybe day 2.
So when it comes down to Penix Jr., age and injury be damned, it's more so about what's in between his ears.
Exactly. I think he's a good processor. I think he's accurate, of course. And he obviously had the great game against Texas, not as good against Michigan, but that's a, you know, national championship defense. And when you're drafting a guy late first, or, you know, as I said, day two is probably the better value for him, you know, you're not getting the perfect prospect. But as the Eagles showed with Jalen Hurts, you don't need a perfect prospect to win football games at that position, as long as you support him and build the offense around him. And I think that's the kind of player that Penix, and to a lesser extent, I think the kind of player that Bo Nix will be at the NFL level.
Well, Eric, final question for you as we wrap things up. Speaking of the draft, there is a guy already in the NFL. We've seen him, Justin Fields, unfortunately banged up here and there. What do you? What is your evaluation of the guy, and what do you think the Chicago Bears should do?
Well, it's tough because I don't think that he's gotten necessarily the fairest shake there, right? The Komet was kind of the best option they gave him for a while. Darnell Mooney, the offensive line wasn't particularly good at first. They've done a better job over the years giving him running game with Foreman and Herbert, and giving him DJ Moore, and, you know, Komet's done a good job. Darnell Wright was taken in the draft, but it just hasn't worked out. And, you know, if they stick with him, it's going to be at the opportunity cost of Caleb Williams or Drake May. And so they're probably going to have to take a guy high in the draft, and whether or not they keep Fields around a la, you know, Alex Smith with Patrick Mahomes, or, Drew Brees with Phillip Rivers or something like that, he's not in the future plans for Chicago, which means he's going to have to be the quarterback somewhere else. And we've seen that happen with, you know, like I said, Alex Smith. We've seen that happen with Drew Brees. Guys can have, you know, great, you know, Baker Mayfield just even this year. Guys can have good second stanzas. That's got to be the hope for Fields.
Eric, thank you so much for coming through and dropping the knowledge. Where can people keep up with you, your work? There's so much insight that you have. Fill us in.
Yeah, at Soomersports.com, at Soomersports on X and Twitter. I'm at Eric Eager underscore on both. Soomersports.com, we have a big game breakdown where we have a 41-page preview of the Super Bowl this week. If any, you dabble in prop bets, if you want to just look at the stats in the game, we have, you know, never before seen stats and previews of the big game. So I would love for everybody in your audience to check that out, and I really appreciate you having me on.
No, absolutely, Eric. Great conversation. Look forward to chatting with you down the line, okay?
Yeah, take care. Have a good one.
No doubt about it. Thank you so much to Eric Eager. He is the VP of Soomer Sports. This man is dialed into everything when it comes down to NFL and its analytics. He says the 49ers are the team that's favored, and he also gave some great insight when it comes down to the upcoming draft. These teams that will not be participating, obviously, in the Super Bowl, maybe they can get a quarterback and get here in a few years. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Eric is already out in Vegas. There's a baseball team that's supposed to be moving to Vegas, but we heard the mayor said that they shouldn't come. There's also a baseball player. He's out in Houston. He just got paid a whole lot of money to stick around. I'm going to fill you in on both on the other side of the break. 855-212-4CBS is the number. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio.
I'm Tony, and this is the Tony Kornheiser Show. Wow, that makes it sound a bit more serious than it really is. So what exactly is the show about? It's been almost 30 years, and I still don't know. Right now, we have some of the best voices in football come on to explain to us what we need to know in the college and pro world, and we get weekly picks from a monkey. Do you really need more than that? I might just tell you about my bunker game and the latest failed entry in my quest to find the best coffee ice cream. No schmutz, please. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
Ryan Howard knows a thing or two about getting paid. Believe me. Jose Altuve, he just got paid. Jose Altuve got a 5-year, $125 million extension. I'm like, damn, I've met Jose Altuve. A very nice guy. He's a small dude. Now, am I expecting, and by the way, he has more postseason home runs than anybody ever. It's just nutty. You think about Jose Altuve, you go, well, how is this short guy just destroying the baseball? Where is he getting all this power from? I guess a lot of it has to do with the speed. And so he just reached a $125 million extension with the team when he's going to be 39 years old. But the way Jose Altuve has played the game, you would think as he continues on in his career, if even if he doesn't have the power numbers, he's still going to be able to contribute with the bat. I mean, what's worst case scenario? Jose Altuve going out and batting, I don't know, 270 when he's 39 years old? He is the type of player that you want in your organization for the long haul. I mean, just this past year, Jose Altuve, 17 home runs, 51 RBIs, had a batting average of 311. He's likely to go out there and just continue to torture people over the next several years. He is going to be an Astro for life. Jose Altuve, a five-year, $125 million deal, extension, I should say, with the Astros. Now, when you think about other free agents or people not eligible to be free agents, Blake Snell is still floating around. I guess nobody wants to meet his asking price. Cody Bellinger is still floating around. We're pulling up on spring training. Pitchers and catchers are going to report around Valentine's Day of next week all across baseball, and some of the biggest names still don't have deals. Speaking of deals, this is wild. And thank you so much to Eric Eager for joining us in the last break. He is a sports analytics nut for everything NFL related. And he came through and we talked about the Super Bowl. Says the numbers favor the 49ers. And we talked about the NFL draft and on and on. And then I asked him specifically, what are the odds that somebody does something nutty out in Las Vegas? What are the odds that, I don't know, somebody has too much to drink, that somebody gets caught doing something they're not supposed to do? And we concluded that the odds are just pretty high, or at least I have. The Super Bowl is in Vegas for the first time. There was some news that came out earlier today via a podcast that was a little bit more directly related to the Oakland Athletics. The Oakland Athletics scheduled to start their season or start their tenure in Vegas in 2028. The Oakland A's are supposed to move onto the site of the Tropicana Hotel. The Oakland A's are supposed to join the Las Vegas Knights. The Aces. And who else am I missing, Hickey? I don't know. Just
the Raiders.
Oh, yeah, the Raiders across the street. Yeah, the Raiders. How can I forget Mark Davis's team? How could I? Maybe they still belong in Oakland, too. Anyway, the Oakland A's are supposed to be there in 4 years. But their mayor, the mayor of Las Vegas, her name is Carolyn Goodman. She was sitting down with Front Office Sports, and she had a different idea of what Oakland should do. The A's, listen.
I personally, I'm not talking about anybody else, anywhere else in this community. I personally think they've got to figure out a way to stay in Oakland and make their dream come true. We have a very large complex, probably about 60 acres. We probably could cobble together more land so they could possibly have 100 acres. And it's in the historic old part of town, which is where all major interstate highways come together. We have 7 access points to it. It is in an opportunity zone. There are all these benefits. And so when they said no, I thought, this doesn't make sense. And so why is it happening? And then I thought, well, because they really want to stay in Oakland. They want to be on the water. They have that magnificent dream, and yet they can't get it.
No, I don't think so. No. I think Fisher, who owns the team, the man wants to be in Las Vegas. He wants the glitz. He wants the glamour. He wants the gambling. And, yeah, they took a smaller site. If I remember correctly, their proposed stadium on the site of the Tropicana across the street from the MGM is supposed to hold, what, 30,000 to 40,000 people, 35 to 40? That doesn't even feel like a baseball stadium at that point. That feels like a bigger basketball arena. Yeah, and I know they hold 20, but just another 10 for baseball? It's like they're trying to cram the Oakland Athletics onto the strip, because what good is it being in Vegas if you're not going to be on the strip? The Golden Knights, they play downtown in T-Mobile. The Las Vegas Raiders, they play basically down the road across the street in their own stadium. Beautiful stadium, Allegiant Stadium. Everybody's in the city. So I'm sure the Oakland Athletics didn't say, hey, we're moving to Vegas to be in Old Town. They want to be on the strip. Now, I assume people going to go see the baseball are going to, well, walk? I mean, it's over by the airport. I mean, there's a lot of congestion over there, yeah, but, you know, I'm thinking about it from a tourist perspective, right? I ain't driving no car nowhere in Las Vegas. Not me. But who's going to go? Hickey, the A's are going to be, they're going to be a tourist destination, right? Who cares about them?
Well, I was going to say, that's part of the reason why you go to Vegas, right? Like, to get that almost free attendance just from people that says, oh, Vegas, let's go.
Yeah, I mean, if I was standing at the MGM and I'm like, oh, the A's are across the street, I just walk across the street and watch them. So I just think it's terrible how this is going down. I feel awful that the city of Oakland, they have no Raiders. The Golden State Warriors moved to the other side of the bay. They're now in San Francisco. And, you know, we have the Oakland Athletics, the last team to move out of that dump, concrete dump, the Oakland Coliseum. And they're going to Vegas. So I feel bad for Oakland. I don't think they want to stay. I don't think this is a last ditch. I think the way that they have bled the team out over the past couple of seasons, you know, trading away stars and basically rolling out a glorified AAA team, there's nothing there that makes me go, oh, they really want to stay. They have ripped the team down to the studs. I could probably play on the team as a pinch runner. Maybe I could throw down a bunt. I know people don't do that anymore. So, yeah, I don't know how much Carolyn Goodman, the mayor of Las Vegas, knows about baseball, but there is nothing indicating that we want to put out a product for Oakland to be proud of, and let's use Las Vegas as leverage. No, all of the evidence is there. Hey, teams want to move to Vegas. You want to know who's next at some point? The NBA. And that guy, LeBron James, I last heard that he wants to own that team. I'm sure he can find a partner with another couple of billion dollars to help him out so he doesn't drain his own billion-dollar net worth. We'll see what happens. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Speaking of the guy who wants to own the Vegas NBA franchise, LeBron James, LeBron James, all of a sudden, for being one of the most important players in the history of basketball, that's accurate, he knows a lot. But right now, when it comes down to the Lakers, it's like LeBron James doesn't know anything. Doesn't know who's staying, doesn't know who's coming, going. He doesn't know why he's tweeting things. We're going to talk the future potential owner of the Vegas NBA franchise on the other side of the break. The phone lines are open if you want to give me a call. It's 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Right before we went to break, we heard from the mayor of Las Vegas. She basically said, I think the A's, this is her personal opinion, I think the Oakland A's need to stay in Oakland. I don't think they need to come to Vegas. She's like, hey, this is my own opinion, and I think I don't think there's no turning back. I think the Oakland Athletics will be in Las Vegas starting in 2028. I don't want to say that bridge has been burned. I think it is, unless the team is sold. I know that would be music to ears of fans out in Oakland, but you still got to get a stadium. So a lot of hoops to jump through. At some point in time, Vegas will get an MLB team, and I still think it will be the A's 4 years from now. I told you about LeBron James. He certainly has interest in owning an NBA franchise out in Las Vegas. We know that he is currently playing for the Lakers. There's a big day coming up in 2 days. Well, in 2 days, it's going to be the NBA trade deadline, and LeBron James has been pretty quiet about that. I want to dive a little bit deeper into LeBron James, his lack of, let's just say, enthusiasm in speaking to and addressing the media about the trade deadline. We'll get to that momentarily. At the top of the hour, I want to get into this. We got some changes coming in the world of sports. We got some streaming changes coming to the world of sports, but we'll get there. 855-212-4CBS. Rich is here from California. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, Rich?
Hey, JR, thanks for taking my phone call. Love it. You always put things straight. I want to get your take I'm just weirded out on how I think we're giving Patrick Mahomes all this credit and putting him up there with Tom Brady, Joe Montana, and this and that. Reason why I'm asking your opinion on why, because I was listening to Freddie earlier too, and he was saying that, oh, this is the first time we've seen a quarterback do this in the first 6 years of his career, which I don't understand that either, because you have Tom Brady, Joe Montana, other quarterbacks. Even Purdy's climbing that rank right now, doing it way before their fourth year. It took him four quarters to throw a touchdown pass in the first Super Bowl. His second Super Bowl, he didn't throw any touchdown pass. His third Super Bowl, I give him that. He won it. He came back. He won that himself. Injury, all that. He was amazing. The guy's got a hell of an arm. One of the best arms I've ever seen, besides Dan Marino. He's got a beautiful read. He can throw on the run in both directions.
So help me out, Rich. What's your issue? Just the fact that his name is being mentioned with Tom Brady? Is that what it is?
Because can we mention his name with Eli Manning, who has two Super Bowl rings?
Well, Eli Manning won two Super Bowl rings after playing for what felt like almost 16, 17 years. The fact Rich.
He didn't throw a touchdown pass almost in his first two Super Bowls.
Oh, my God, Rich.
Is it the stage too big for him?
Hold on, Rich. Let me ask you a question. This is probably the most important question. You been drinking?
That's
the second one, because you got me on speakerphone is the next question, right?
No.
Yeah, you do. You're not on the phone. Well, here's the first thing. I think you are on something. And the second part is you do have me far away from the phone. Listen to me. Don't respond. Listen to me. Patrick Mahomes, at this stage of his career, has had so much ridiculous success that if he does win this Super Bowl this upcoming Sunday, that he is going to be hanging out with guys like Montana and Brady. And when you think about what he's already done at quarterback, whether it's throwing 50 touchdowns in his first real season of playing, you're talking about, oh, it took him the second half to score a touchdown in his first Super Bowl. The man scored 21 points to come back and beat a 49ers team. You talk about how he didn't throw any in the second game. He was playing behind a crap offensive line and was running for his life the entire game. And then you easily acknowledge the three that he threw last year. If you're only going to judge this man in the Super Bowl against the best of the best competition, if you're going to ignore the fact that the quarterback is the most important position on any team and he is the leader, the driver that's getting him there, there's nothing for me to tell you. I mean, did he steal your girlfriend in high school? Like, what happened?
No, I think he's just being shadowed by a great defensive coordinator and a D tackle who's getting no credit.
Rich.
Almost Chris Charles Jones. Haley.
Well, thank Rich, I got to tell you, I appreciate the kind words that you had for me. You said I shoot straight. Rich, this is a bad hill
Smack
to die.
Smack me in the face, please. I like Mahomes, but I mean, I wouldn't pick him as my Super Bowl quarterback.
And I think you need to get checked out, Rich. Thank you, man. Hickey, which one is it? Pick a drug. Pick one. Which one is it?
Let's go with for that take. Boy, that's like weed laced with Alexa something.
I don't know. He said, I don't know why he's getting all these accolades. And then he goes on and he starts naming why he's a good quarterback. And I'm like, well, it took him the second half to throw touchdowns in the first Super Bowl. Yeah, he had a comeback. If he was so bad, he would have lied down and died and shriveled up. He won. Like, you got to look at the big picture, man. Oh, Patrick Mahomes, he getting too much credit. Why do people like Patrick Mahomes? You want to tell me that other teams in the NFL wouldn't sign up to have the success that he's had? since he had to sit behind Alex Smith. You want to tell me that any team outside of the New England Patriots over the past 20 years, I think would say, oh, yeah, we'll take that. Damn. I think Patrick Mahomes, maybe he did take his girlfriend. What's his wife's name? Is Brittany, right? Brittany Mahomes?
Brittany Mahomes.
I think people don't like her the same way they don't like Taylor Swift. What did she do? Do you know? You have any
Brittany?
Idea? Yeah, it's like people don't like her either. I don't know.
She's been, well, calm down, but she was very obnoxious on social media.
Was she talking?
Screaming in the camera, screaming in people's faces. People did not like the high-pitched shrill that she would shriek with.
Oh.
Controversy, her pouring alcohol on other fans in a
way. She did she was shaking up champagne something, right?
Right, and like spraying it out of the box when it was like very cold out against, was that the Bengals, I think it was? Or
okay. So she's not, this wasn't David Tepper, I'm going to throw the drink on you.
No. It was a joyful occasion.
Just a rich, obnoxious footballer's wife.
Yes, that's right. Who's not shy to let you know that her husband is Patrick Mahomes.
Sounds like a crap person to me. I'm just saying. I mean, I don't know her from a hole in the wall. She sounds like a crap person from things that I've read. And, yeah, she always want to, yeah, I've seen, everything I see is her responding to some, it's like, yo, why do you care? Like, why do you care? It's just, you are in Mahomes' way. You don't got to care in the world. Just live your life. And you see, Hickey, didn't I tell you everybody was soft? Like, you got all the money in the world. What the hell are you worried about people that got less than you that are critical?
Maybe, I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, if you weren't a jackass, people wouldn't call you one. And maybe you wouldn't have to respond. Go do something better. I know they got two kids. I saw Mahomes talking about his dad bod, but I don't know. People so sensitive, man. Speaking of sensitive, I guess LeBron is sensitive too. Nice transition. Look, the Lakers, they're actually above 500 right now. They beat the Knicks and shorthanded. They beat the Hornets. Anybody could beat the Hornets. They've been on a little bit of a run here since they came out east, and now they're back home. Now that these stupid Grammys are done, the Lakers have a record of 27-25. They don't get back in action until this Thursday as they take on the Denver Nuggets. Now, LeBron James, before we even get to that, the trade deadline is going to take place Thursday afternoon. The Nuggets game is at night. No coincidence that this is a nationally televised game on TNT. Who will be traded by then? Are the Lakers going to move somebody? Are the Lakers going to move anybody? We have no idea. It's been reported that their GM is just pounding the pavement and hitting the phones, trying to identify who they could get their hands on. May not be nobody, but this is the Los Angeles Lakers. They're going to try to get someone. A matter of fact, after their last game last night, the Lakers, LeBron James, he was asked by the media if the roster is good enough to win a championship. LeBron James wasn't falling for that bait. Listen to this.
It's not a question for me. I love what we have in the locker room, and that's all I worry about. Listen, I can't stand your ass. I don't get caught up in that. We're going to go out and prepare ourselves, every single night, no matter what it is, no matter who's out on the scene, no matter what. So it's my job, it's AD's job, it's two captains to make sure we keep the main thing, and the main focus is now Thursday's game at home, and we look forward to that matchup.
Now, does anybody really believe that he loves everybody in the locker room? I mean, LeBron James put out an hourglass emoji last week. No words, no context. He was asked about it Saturday in New York after the Lakers shoot around before they took on the Knicks. And he didn't have no comment. So what's up with the cryptic posts and the passive aggressive and dropping clues and hints? It's like breadcrumbs to where? Grandma's house? Like, where are we going? Somebody's going to get the boot. And when this guy is traded, whoever it is, from the Lakers, maybe it's D'Angelo Russell, who, by the way, at 28 points last night, could have been his last night as a Laker. If D'Angelo Russell is moved, is LeBron going to tell everybody how much he loves him when he's gone from the team? I mean, I expect Austin Reeves to stick around, but Hey, LeBron James is keeping it on the quiet right now. He's keeping it on the hush-hush. I want to see who the Lakers get because, unfortunately, I think this is a wasted year for LeBron. I know the Lakers looked like crap last year. It looked like this was all about LeBron becoming the NBA's all-time leading scorer. And then they were able to get to the Western Conference Finals. I don't think they're going to have that much luck going forward the rest of this season. But, hey, we got to see how the rest of the year bears out. LeBron James loves everybody in the locker room. Well, maybe next time he should tweet out a heart emoji instead of an hourglass, basically telling everybody somebody's going to get the boot. How about this? The Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces DOD, veterans, and their families. Their members are their mission. You can learn more at NavyFederal.org. The best defense is a good offense. Pelican star forward Brandon Ingram helped to push the Pelicans' winning streak to 3. This man dropped 41 points, a 138-100 victory over the Raptors last night. At the end of the third quarter, Ingram hit 5 straight threes on his way to a season-high 41. The Pelicans now 29-21 on the season. I didn't see it. I was standing here in the studio working. But I pay for all these things, right? I got TNT on one screen. I got, CBS on another. There's ESPN. I got everything on here in this studio. There's big news that broke today. Turner, Warner Brothers, ESPN, Fox. You thought they hated each other's guts? You're wrong. They love each other. A matter of fact, they are forming a brand new entity to deliver sports to your computer, phone, tablet, television, and whatever the hell you watch. I'm going to explain on the other side of the break because how you watch sports is continuing to change. You're locked into the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio.
Dana Carvey and David Spade here.
You might know our podcast, Fly on the Wall, featuring guests from across the entertainment industry.
We decided to do a spinoff called Superfly, and it's fun. It's just two of us riffing on current events, pop culture, catching up, impressions.
Joe, Trump's trying to be a dictator.
Yeah, just bump on the tater tots.
Joe, no.
Listen to and follow Superfly on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.